And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal like so far on down south of Birmingham and so way up north of Huntsville and from Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. My buddy George from high school in Huntsville, George in Huntsville, just texted me, just reminded me of a few times when we were out in the 68 Mustang and things were not going the way they were supposed to go. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, good times. Glad we survived, George. But nonetheless, hey, listen, the text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. Text it on in if you want to. Just a couple more before we hit the dippers. Michelle from Huntsville just texted in and said, another great monologue. I often send copies of inspiring ones to young friends in prison. Thanks. He will love this one. Man, Michelle, I am just like blown away, blessed by that. Thank you so much. And then John from Huntsville says, my favorite cars are any kind of Lamborghini and any kind of Chevy Corvette. Okay. All right. I'm all for the I'm still a Ford guy, although I will admit, give me a 71 Hemi Cuda, I think I could be happy. Just I would not kick it out of my garage for eating crackers. I'll just go ahead and tell you. So anyway, there's that. All right, enough of that. Hey, let's jump right into the triple dipper here. School days. Why are we last? Why are we continually last? Why are we satisfied with being last? Why do we even accept being last? Those aren't rhetorical questions, really. Those are real questions. Now, I'll tell you, when I was in Montgomery, I was one of my favorite moments still to this day was the night we passed what's called the Alabama Accountability Act. We broke the mold. We got a school choice piece of legislation passed. And my gosh, we took heat for it. The teachers' union, they threw everything in the world but the kitchen sink, and I think sometimes the kitchen sink too. And you know, we were called everything from, you know, here to there. We were lampooned. I had the honor, I think I said before recently, I had the honor of having my caricature done twice in the AEA Journal, the newsletter for teachers. I cut it out, laminated it, and put it on the wall in my office. All that to say, the teachers' union has constantly been opposed to the idea of changing things, of going to school choice. Why? What is the point of being opposed to this? I'll tell you what kicked me off on this topic was a piece that came out just yesterday. Why are Democrats so afraid of school choice? It's the Washington Examiner. It says school choice has exploded across the country over the past few years, no thanks to Democrats who are doing everything they can to prevent families from determining the best education for their children. It says one Democrat in Georgia even left her party over its opposition to a school choice package, and I'll talk about her more in a minute. Her name is Misha Maynor. I covered her a little bit yesterday in my mini-dipper. In Pennsylvania, Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro caved last week to the leftist members of his party and teachers' union officials who fund their campaigns by bailing on his pledged support. In other words, here's the deal. Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania campaigned on school choice, promised school choice, supported the bill while it was being passed in the legislature, let them all go to the mat and duke it out with the teachers' union. They passed the bill, sent it to him, and then he caved and didn't sign it. I mean, here's what I think. I think he was so cowardly in his approach to this, he thought that it would never get passed. So he campaigned on it so he could say he was for it, but didn't have to worry about it because it wouldn't come to him. And by golly, they passed that thing. And then he realized he was stuck. So he vetoed it. But then you've also got, you know, looking around the nation, you're seeing other places where school choice is being lampooned as some type of, you know, antithesis to good education. What is your solution? So, hey, here's a question for you. Teachers Union in Alabama, AEA, what is your solution? And how do you feel about representing an organization that consistently advocates for policies that keep us in last place? How do you reconcile that with the idea that you're the Alabama Education Association? Well, they're really not about education. They're about getting what they can for theirs. That's it. They're a union. This is not even a union that's, you know, really something that's covering down on, you know, poor workplace conditions or anything else that unions were originally formed for. This is called how best can we drain the budgets and keep everything in status quo so we don't have to worry about it. And again, I will say, because I have to, that the fact is that the rank and file educators in the state of Alabama largely are squared away and vote as conservative as most of the rest of us. There are some who are nothing but screaming liberals who believe in the nature of the union itself. But the AEA as an organization has done more to debilitate education in the state than I think anything else. But look in Pennsylvania, where Governor Shapiro vetoed that school choice legislation. It says 77% of Pennsylvania parents support school choice across the board, bipartisan. 77%. But fear of losing teachers' union checks is just part of the reason this article points out that Democrats have made opposition to school choice a party position. Now, let me just caveat by saying this. In Alabama, we have a Republican supermajority. Not just a majority, y'all. A Republican supermajority. The only reason why something doesn't pass in Alabama is if they don't want to. It's not like there's a problem with getting the votes. If they want to take a platform position, an agenda policy position, they can do it. Now, granted, I know there's going to be times when a bill comes up and there might be infighting among the caucus, right? The Republicans themselves might disagree on something. But largely speaking, when you look at purple states like Pennsylvania, where it polls at 77% school choice, and that actually reflects the vast majority of the nation. And, oh, by the way, you're going to hear more later on, I believe, from Ryan Cantrell when he calls in at 3:30, that really reflects a new poll, even in Alabama. This poll's so high that there's no fear of it going against you when you go to your next campaign if politics is what you base your decisions on. This thing polls so high that you don't have to worry about whether your constituents are going to have a fit about this. The only people you have to worry about are the teachers' union and the school board association, who don't want to break up the status quo despite the fact that we remain in last place on a regular basis. Story here from The Statesman, which is a Texas news source. The Statesman reports, as of 2 days ago, Governor Greg Abbott says he plans to call a special legislative session aimed at passing school choice, a controversial issue that could make public money available to parents to help pay for private school tuition. Well, the issue becomes, right now, some lawmakers are saying the same thing they said in Alabama this past session. They're saying, well, how do we test them? How do we hold them accountable? They're going to get those tax dollars. Well, how about this? First of all, the parents chose where to send their child. There's no charlatans out there selling snake oil education, all right? They weren't duped into it. They looked at what they had available to them through the public system and decided to go over here instead. Most of those schools are already fully accredited. Many of them carry accreditations for years. I'll never forget the private school that... Now, I'm a product of public schools. I don't dislike public schools at all. Don't mistake that. My son went to public school for the better part of his elementary, and then we moved him to a private school because my wife was working there. Best decision we ever made. Both my kids went there. Both of them came out with academic scholarships for college. I remember looking at that one day and realizing that my son's class alone, I think, had 4 national merit semifinalists in it in a small school where they only had 60 kids in the graduating class. That's epic. That's not the same for every school, but it certainly was for this one. And y'all, there is no reason for us to stay in last place. I will say this. Just about 3.5 weeks ago, a story came out on Alabama Daily News. Checking to see why the school choice bill didn't pass this past session, there is talk that it will come back next year. Maybe with some mods, who knows. But State Senator Larry Stutz, who came on this show, who I know Larry, he's a friend of mine from when we served together, he says, I'm not against public schools. He was the bill sponsor. He says, but I'm tired of being in last place. I want to see substantial improvement. The changes we made in the Alabama Accountability Act, yeah, it raised the cap a little bit, but that's not enough to make a difference statewide in overall performance. He plans to bring it back. He says he recognizes that some of the only people out there who oppose this still are because they want to see some testing thrown in, some accountability. I think we have to be careful with that. What we don't want to see is the State Department of Education, with a future Democrat governor, accepts federal policies that then wind up getting attached to these private schools that make them have to violate their principles in order to keep the funding coming in. That's the problem. That's why people don't want to be subjected to government-sponsored requirements. It doesn't mean they want to get out there and teach flat earth. They don't want to get out there and teach kids how to be, anything but literate, smart. What it means is they don't want to be subjected to government oversight because it often comes with stringers. But they say, Alabama lawmakers believe that they can bring it. They think it's going to come next year. Stutz said he believes the school choice will be a major issue in the 2024 presidential race. And then you look at some of the others, Danny Garrett, I know Danny, and Terry Collins, I know them both. They're both good people right here in this listening area. Representative Danny Garrett's a budget chair. Terry Collins is the House Education Chair. They sponsored a bill that would have allowed some limited amount of school choice, but they really didn't push it, y'all. I'll be honest, they didn't. They didn't try hard. Danny, they're both chairmen of major committees. Had they wanted that bill to move, they could have moved it. Because remember, in a supermajority, if you want something, you can get it done. If it doesn't pass, it's because you really didn't want it. All right, boom, let's take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to switch gears slightly. So there's school choice. Here's the other part of School Days Dipper. Did you know that absenteeism has become pretty pronounced in the state of Alabama? Well, nationwide. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Boomer, Brian from Huntsville just texted in. His wife graduated high school with me. All right, Brian, you got to tell me who your wife's, I don't know who this is, but anyway, bottom line is, now we had a huge class. I had 560 people in my graduating class.
Just a couple?
Just a few. And I was, being a W, I was like number 549 in alphabetical order. Came time for graduation. They're calling diplomas. We sat back there and played cards on the back row waiting for our turn.
Nice.
Brian, I'm glad to hear she was a Grissom grad of 1983. Tell me who she was, and let's see if we can make that connection. Hey, listen, I'm moving forward on school days. Coming up in a few minutes, got a couple of callers in a row. Alan Harris is somebody who I met recently, think the world of. He's a member of the Alabama Workforce Council. He's a very successful businessman who's agreed to basically a volunteer position to give up his time to see how we can better employment and things around the state. One of the things they're looking at is, in terms of workforce development, how do we build a quality workforce, part of which is education, part of which is, it turns out, absenteeism is a big deal. I'll tell you about that in a minute, but he's going to call in at 3, and I find his study they just came out with fascinating. But this is apparently a thing nationwide. Here's a story from last year. This is from MyNBC15.com, which is down in Mobile, WPMI down in Mobile. It says it was a trend last year. This is just over a year ago. It was a trend last year, which means 2021, in America's classrooms to blame on the COVID pandemic chronic absenteeism. Yeah, I get it. School districts said that students missed more than four full weeks of classes in many cases. I mean, so right now in the state of Alabama, I believe it's 18. If you miss more than 18, you are considered chronically absent from school. So the new Congressional Watchdog report last year, though, indicates more than a million kids stopped going to school altogether. Like, they don't know where they went. Did they just, I mean, what? Are they homeschool now? Probably. A lot of them probably are. Did they move to a private school? Maybe. Did they get out of California where the schools were shut down forever and go to Florida so they could go to school? Maybe. All we're saying here is the school lost track. Schools lost track of over a million kids in 2021. In Alabama, if a student misses 18 days or more out of the entire school year, they're chronically absent, and the high absence rate now has some school districts having to draw a hard line to get kids back in school. So the Government Accountability Office reveals that nearly half of the country's public school teachers say they had at least one student who never showed up again after COVID reopenings. This is kind of a big deal. And when you think about it, you have to wonder, what are the long-term ramifications of what happened to our kids during COVID? Well, chronic absenteeism became a thing. But I'll be honest with you, COVID is not the only reason. There's a laxness to some degree in enforcement of absenteeism. Here's an article from WSFA, which is out of Montgomery, from 2019, before COVID. It says there were around 6.5 million total student absences during the 2018-19 school year across Alabama. If that's shocking, it says, just consider that it was down about 500,000 from the previous year. Wow. Educators can't teach a child if they're not in the classroom, it says. Point. It says about 3.9 million of those 6.5 million absences, or around 60%, were excused. That means a parent took the child out for a doctor's appointment or provided the school with an excuse note. That still leaves 2.6 million unexcused reasons for not being in class. Chronic absenteeism is in some ways sucking the life out of schools in Alabama. Another piece here from ABC 3340 out of Birmingham, dated just March of this year, says the pandemic showed students learn better when they are in the classroom. However, school districts remain with attendance issues, especially focusing on Tuscaloosa in this particular article. In Tuscaloosa, they had one school with 290 students, had like over, I'm jumbling the numbers here. They moved to a larger high school, which is a high school which has over 1,100 students, and there are 80 students having chronic absenteeism. That's too high a percentage, y'all. So what happened was the Alabama Workforce Council, and we'll have Alan Harris call in a minute, he was appointed to be the chair of the Human Capital Development Committee, and on part of that, he brought to the attention of the chairman of the overall that, look, this absenteeism, this is a big deal. And so he and his committee got together, they worked diligently, and they began to pull in data. But here's the thing that really got me. The absenteeism is not just students. The chronic absenteeism is also related to teachers. Got some amazing stats here. Things like the cost to society and lost wages for a high school dropout is like $400,000 over a 40-year career. Chronic absenteeisms are 12 times as likely to commit serious assault than their peers. 80% of incarcerated are high school dropouts. But then you flip over to the teacher side. What the heck? Teachers, that's their job, and they're chronically absent? This is a symptom that the public's investment in the school system is being underutilized is excessive teacher absenteeism. 16 to 18% of teachers that are absent 18 days or more account for more than one-third of those absences. And the students miss all that instructional time. And then you have to wonder, what about things like, you always hear about the opening week of school. It's coming up pretty soon. And how so many school systems don't really expect you to be there. And then the last week of school, we're just going to put a video in and watch that for a while. That happens way too often. And so then kids decide they're not going to come. We're not talking about just skipping class once in a while. We're talking about chronic absenteeism and what it does to our students. And is there something we can do about it? We're going to cover that here in a minute. Come right back after the break. Alan Harris, who sat on the Alabama Workforce Council and chaired the subcommittee that examined all this, is going to give us a lowdown on what his thoughts are, where we have to go with it. And then coming up at 3:30, Ryan Cantrell, National Director of Government Affairs for the American Federation for Children. He'll give us some latest stats on where school choice is really at nationwide and where we are, in his opinion. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.